everybody, and welcome back into Hawks Huddle here on a Tuesday afternoon as we record this. I'm Mark Castanet. Joining me, as always, is Jacqueline Kula. How are you doing, Jacqueline?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you?
Doing well here. Excited to get going with another episode here. We're going to be joined by Coach Falds, Coach Michael Falds of the Laurier Golden Hawks, their men's football team. He's going to join us a little bit later today. That'll be our first guest, so I know we're pretty excited about that, to have somebody on here and talk a little bit of sports. As your Giants were on a bye this week, a lot of NFL news, a lot of NFL happenings over this past week, and I think the biggest thing that most people are talking about is Joe Burrow. Just devastating injury, torn ACL, torn MCL. We're gonna get to that, but just initially, your first reactions when you saw that, Jacqueline?
So I saw, it didn't look like anything. Like, he, I don't think he really got hit, right? It was kind of like his knee looked like it bent weirdly. Yeah. And then I'm thinking, okay, he's going to get up. He's fine. Then he gets carted off. And I'm like, okay, maybe it's just broken leg, heel, whatever. It's an ACL and MCL injury, which is worse than what they thought it would be. He said that he'll be back next year, but there's a chance it may take longer than just a year to recover. And we were just talking about this last week about, you know, career-ending injuries with Derrick Rose, and saying, that is this happening to Carson Wentz? I'm a little worried that this is happening to Burrow.
Yeah, it's another significant injury. That's kind of been a theme of some of our past episodes, talking about all of these injuries. You're right, though. Like, that's so key to note. He had suffered significant damage, even more than what was first thought by the Bengals. So just a devastating injury. You never want to see, you know, the first overall pick go down. And, you know, he's going to be out for the year now. It's going to be a football, a lot of football. We'll talk a lot about football throughout the show, obviously, with Coach Falds on. We'll do our picks a little bit later. But before we really get into that, let's talk a little bit about the NBA. I mean, the rumor mill in the NBA is really, really spinning. There's been a lot of trades, a lot of signings. Free agency opened this past weekend. And also, the Raptors have found a home. It looks like the Raptors are going to be playing in Florida, sunny Florida, this winter, I guess, when the season starts next month.
Yeah, I know. It's me weird not seeing them, like, with every other team playing in their home court. Seeing us play in Tampa Bay is kind of sad. But I think, yeah, it is best for Canada not to allow teams coming here, just due to COVID and due to safety reasons. So I understand why they're doing it. And I think Tampa Bay is an interesting home to have. Not really my first pick, I thought, would be Buffalo, but I'm excited for this season. A lot of big signings have happened the past week. First of all, with Marc Gasol signed with the Lakers, mm-hmm, I thought he was signing with Spain. Like, yeah, wasn't that a big thing that he was going to go back home to play in Spain?
Yeah, that came out of, you know, maybe a month ago, 2 months ago. It looked like Gasol, yeah, was returning to Spain. And then you hear all of these tweets and all of these rumors going on, and now he's in L.A.
So now he's in L.A., and so is Serge Ibaka, yes, reuniting with Kawhi Leonard, also in L.A., but with the Clippers. It's kind of sad to see these guys leave us. You know, I understand, yeah, they want to, you know, win a championship somewhere else, or they want to finish their career in nice, sunny Los Angeles. I get it.
Yep.
But it's sad. And it feels like this team is breaking apart. But Van Vliet just signed a 4-year deal, which,
yeah,
is big.
Yeah, $85 million. He cashed in. Yeah.
So that's exciting. So I think we do have a bright future. But it is sad to see these vets leave us.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, the money getting thrown around in the NBA right now over this past weekend is just ridiculous. I mean, some of the contracts that have been signed, you know, Gordon Hayward signed 4 years, $120 million with Charlotte. You have big deals across the board. I mean, Goran Dragic got paid big, Freddie Van Vliet, and then, of course, Ibaka and Gasol. You know, to get to the Raptors' point, yeah, you look at, you know, the championship winning team, you know, it's lost Kawhi now, it's lost Ibaka now, it's lost Gasol now. Yes, you were able to get Van Vliet back. You also have a Kyle Lowry who is still, you know, he's going to go down as one of the best players to play for the Raptors, but he is aging. His age is going up. That number, yep, is a number that you have to, you know, keep in the back of your head as he gets older. And I think that's what the Raptors were thinking when they drafted Malachi Flynn. with their first round draft pick out of San Diego State, a guard. A lot of people are high on him, but it is kind of sad to see. And I don't know. Do you think the Raptors are going to still be, you know, a top four seed, you know, going to win their division again, you know, come next season?
I think so. And also just relating back to signings, like Giannis still has not signed with the Bucks. So I'm not saying we're going to get him, but imagine we do. Imagine Giannis. If Giannis is on this team, I think we will win a championship next year. But it's most likely we're not going to get him. I think we will be a really good team still. I don't know if we're going to be able to win another championship. I think we might be going into a little bit of a rebuilding because of these older guys leaving us. I wouldn't really call it a rebuild because we're so good, but we are getting new players, younger players. We have to build them up. So I don't think we're going to win a championship, but I think we still will be making the playoffs. We will be a very competitive team. But I just don't see us beating Kawhi and LeBron and Giannis if he stays with the Bucks.
Not with this roster. No.
Yeah, it's too young.
It is. And you know, you do have some proven pieces. You have Pascal Siakam, of course, you have Kyle Lowry.
Of course, yeah.
You know, you have some of these pieces. You know, you re-signed Fred VanVleet, like we said, Norman Powell, you know, but you know, Pascal Siakam, you just talked about the age, you talked about how young the Raptors are. And we talked about it in the past couple episodes. When you get to the playoffs, experience matters a lot. And Pascal, he received a lot of flack, a lot of hate for the way he played in the playoffs this year. And I mean, it's part of, you know, not everybody, you know, Michael Jordan did not win the finals in his first playoff appearance. I mean, he went his first 4 years, he lost, right? It happens for many of these stars. So Pascal, I mean, I think you kind of have to expect that, especially when he doesn't have Kawhi. Now you lose more in that front court. No Ibaka, no Gasol. So it'll be interesting. The Raptors did bring in Alex Len. They also brought in Aaron Baines. And they re-signed Canadian Chris Boucher.
Yeah.
So those are some of the moves that the Raptors are making, trying to fill the void. But it's not the same as Serge and Marc Gasol.
Right.
So, yeah. Other news in the NBA, James Wiseman, Anthony Edwards, and LaMelo Ball, the top three to go in the NBA draft last week. LaMelo Ball, it'll be interesting. He's playing with Charlotte. I don't know if you remember the little beef him and Michael Jordan.
LeVar
and Michael Jordan have. So
that'll be interesting to see him in Charlotte. LeVar going to games. Like, I wonder if Michael's even going to allow him to come to games. Or maybe they will go one-on-one finally.
Yeah, exactly.
LeVar and Michael.
And LeVar thinks he can win that. He's pretty steadfast on he can beat Michael Jordan. So that's super interesting to see LaMelo Ball go there. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on James Harden, of course. We'll keep an eye on Russell Westbrook. Still a lot of moves can happen in the NBA. But obviously the biggest news, you know, the Raptors signing Fred VanVleet, losing Ibaka, losing Gasol, and they also have a new home. After Trudeau and the government rejected their proposal to play in Canada. So we'll keep this moving here again. Coach Fall is going to join us in about 10 minutes or so here. He'll join us shortly here. Let's get to the NFL. We touched on Burrow a little bit. Another rookie quarterback, Tua. He was benched on Sunday against the Broncos. Now, a lot of people thought he was hurt. Brian Flores came out after the game and said, Fitzpatrick gave us the best chance to win. I mean, is that the way that they should be dealing with their rookie quarterback?
It's a very weird, like, they've been making a lot of weird moves, you know, benching Fitzpatrick a few weeks ago, but Tua didn't have a good game. He went 11 for 20 and only threw for 83 yards before being benched. So he didn't really have a great game against this, you know, Broncos team that's very rocky. I don't really like the move that they're making. I don't like these benching one guy, putting him in. I think they need to stick with one guy because you're already in week 11. Like, benching a guy mid-game is not good for the players and for the team chemistry. Bringing Fitzpatrick and Tua, both very different players, it's not good for the receivers, the O-line, because first of all, Tua is a lefty, so that's a totally different game playing with Fitzpatrick and Tua. I don't love the move that they're making, but they are saying that they're starting Tua next week. So
did they say that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure they said that they're planning on starting Tua next week. But it's a weird thing to do. And if this was my team, I would say you have to stick with one guy.
Yeah, well, I understand what you're saying, and I don't get it either. Like, wouldn't you want, you know, your franchise quarterback to, wouldn't you want him to get through that adversity? I mean, yes, he's struggling, but not every game you're going to play in the NFL, you're going to be playing great. You're going to struggle in a lot of games.
Exactly.
So you're going to want him, you know, to try to battle that adversity, try to overcome that.
Right.
But instead they pull him out and they put in Fitzpatrick. It looks like they are totally fine with rotating quarterbacks, which is something you really don't ever see in the NFL.
No, and especially two very different players. You know, if it's guys who are very similar, you know, let's say you have Brady and Peyton Manning, both very similar players. They're not running around. They throw similarly, very similar. But then you have someone like Tua and Fitzpatrick who play totally different ways of being a quarterback. Tua is a lefty. He's a mobile guy. Fitzpatrick, he's a bit of a mobile guy, but nowhere near the speed of Tua, and very different game plans. And it's just, if I was a receiver on that team, I would be complaining. I'd be like, you got to stick with one guy. It's too much. It's not good for the chemistry. And you're already, it's also already week 11. So it's too late to be doing this, I think.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, we're entering, you know, American Thanksgiving this Thursday. It is really too late. Like, teams are really, you know, making a stance right now, you know, showing who they are. Like, we're not early in the season anymore. It's not like we're, you know, we're feeling each other out, trying to, you know, figure out what you have. Like, you know, we're in week 11 now. So that's a really good point. I mean, it is two different quarterbacks. If we take Coach Flores, like, at face value, I mean, saying that, you know, Fitzpatrick gives you the best chance to win, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, 100%, like, you're hurting your own team in terms of the chemistry of it, in terms of the development of the players, in terms of how you have to play, like you're saying, two very different quarterbacks. So that's why I still kind of think maybe Flores went out there and maybe said that rather to say, you know, Tua wasn't hurt. But I guess, you know, Tua's not on the injury report. Tua hasn't been saying anything about injuries, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird, but, you know, maybe it'll work for them for whatever reason. But they are in a very good division, so they're going to have to play really, really well these next few weeks.
Yeah, no, they for sure will. Two other quarterbacks who were able to pick up their first career wins, PJ Walker and Taysom Hill, both in the NFC. South there, everybody was surprised about Taysom Hill. We were saying it's going to be Jameis Winston. We were talking about Winston.
We were just saying that. Yeah. So, you know, starting off, I guess, with the Saints Falcons, I was surprised they started Taysom over Winston. Apparently, a lot of the players were very confused as well. There was a lot of talk about Winston starting, and I thought he was the right guy to play, but they ended up getting the win 24-9, and Hill ran for two touchdowns. It's a weird move to do, but Taysom Hill is, like, I remember, I think we wanted to talk about this a few weeks ago about the kind of player that Taysom Hill is, and is he good enough to be a starting quarterback in this league?
Oh yeah. See, and that's the question that so many, you know, football pundits and podcasters and everybody is asking, right? And a lot of people are on one side, a lot of people are on the other side. I don't know if you saw Sean Payton and him retweeting Roddy White's tweets that came out. So, you know, Roddy White's obviously on the side that Taysom Hill is just a gadget. He's not a quarterback. Sean Payton has literally called Taysom Hill like the next Steve Young in his mind. So it's two different worlds for this player, and it's such a polarizing player that Taysom Hill is, and it's I just had so much fun watching him play on Sunday.
Right. And then with the Panthers Lions, former XFL star Walker, he probably would have won XFL MVP if the season didn't get canceled. It's nice to see him play finally. You know, these guys who go to the XFL, this is their dream, to be able to go to an NFL team after, and he gets the win 20-0. First of all, Stafford went 18-33 and was sacked 5 times. Like, that was just a bad game on the Lions ends, but it's a big win for Panthers, and it's a great thing to see someone's dream finally come true.
Yeah, it for sure is great for PJ Walker. That's awesome. He played great. And Matt Patricia and the Lions, not so much. I think the hot seat for Matt Patricia is on fire right now. I think he's probably going to be looking for a job. There's a lot of other coaches who will be looking for a job too. The Jags, we don't have to really get into them too much. They lost 27-3. The Pittsburgh covered this week on the spread.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, your team was on a bye. Your division still craziness. The Browns beating the Eagles, and then the Cowboys surprisingly beat the Vikings.
Oh,
And
that
then
I was
Washington
devastated.
too. Yeah,
Yeah,
I know.
and then yeah, Washington. Yeah, so we're all tied, or I guess Philly's up because they have that tie. But other than that, we all pretty much have 3 wins in that in
It's
the in our division. So we really are the worst division you probably will ever see in sports.
yes.
But yeah, it's
It's
gonna be a very weird couple of weeks coming up and seeing who's gonna win the division. Imagine though that like one of these guys actually wins the Super Bowl.
Oh,
What do you think?
I mean one of these teams are going to get a home playoff game, and it's
That's
going to be
crazy.
ridiculous. Just quickly here, we're going to move on, but quickly,
Right.
who do you think the best who is playing the best in that division right now? And I know, like I said, the Giants were on a bye, but who is playing the best? Eagles, the only team to lose yesterday, but they also still lead the division.
I honestly think that the Giants are the
Yeah.
best. I think I'm being a little bit biased. Maybe the Cowboys because of the way that they played yesterday and they looked really good against the Vikings who were really hot. But honestly, I think the Giants should win. I think we have a our not as I guess we do have injuries, but with the Cowboys missing Dak is going to take a real big toll on that team. We haven't really
Yeah.
felt it so much without Saquon, I've noticed. I'm not going to take away the amazing player that Saquon is. He's my favorite player, of course, but we've really been able to bounce back without Saquon and really figure out a game plan without him and use Wayne Gallman. And Jones is as I said last week, he's holding that ball. He's able to rush for touchdowns. He's finding players. I do think that the Giants will win this division.
Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't even argue with you there. I don't even think that's too much of your Giants bias bleeding through there, because honestly, what I've seen, I think Carson Wentz is a completely different quarterback. I think the Eagles should bench him, to be honest.
Yeah, I
And
agree.
I don't think the Redskins or the football team, sorry, have enough targets there. And Alex Smith, he's playing okay, but I don't have much faith in him. And then again, Dallas just too injured. Surprising to see them beat Minnesota, but I think they might have a good chance. It'll be interesting. I think Dallas and New York will battle it out for the NFC East, because yeah, Philadelphia is just a dumpster fire right now. So let's quickly talk about the Monday Night Football game tomorrow, because Coach Foles is going to be joining us pretty shortly here. But I thought Tom Brady was back, Jacqueline.
We were just talking about that. We were saying Brady's back, but I realized this primetime Brady sucks.
Yes.
Against the Bears is when they lost 20-19. And then against the Giants, they ended up winning, but they won by 2 points against the
Yeah.
Giants. And then they got creamed by the Saints. They scored 3 points. So is it Brady in prime time? Is like what's going on with that? Like
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, those stats were crazy. And the other good note there though, that on these primetime games, like, they were against top defenses too. Like, yes, the Bears, the Giants defense has been playing really good this year, and then the
Martinez,
Rams,
yeah.
yeah, and then the Rams defense yesterday, which is been really good. Jalen had another good game as well. Jalen Ramsey,
Yeah.
Aaron Donald, Brockers, so
Yeah, no, but he went 26 for 48 and
yeah,
he only threw 216 yards.
I
It's like
know.
what's and
It
all
was
and all
one of nine on passes 15 yards down the field.
like is this like it's just it's because he has played good teams in non-prime time games. Like 1 o'clock games, he's been able to win those games. But is it something about prime time? Is he nervous now? He's been in the league for all these years. Is he he's is he, like maybe maybe it's his age. Maybe it's too late for him to be playing these games.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
I noticed with the Bears game as well, he didn't shake hands. My dad actually mentioned it. How he's like, what's that about not shaking hands? Where's the class in Brady?
Yeah, a lot of people have been getting on him for that. You know, Jared Goff, he was kind of just looking around yesterday
Yeah.
for him. Everybody, the camera was in on Goff, just looking for Brady. Brady's already in the locker room. So yeah, I you know, the guy who, you know, comes off as, you know, the greatest of all time, and all of this. I mean, you got to show some class and some
Just
respect
a
there.
little bit. Not the
Just a
sh
little bit.
a handshake, good game,
Yeah.
whatever, and then leave. Just a handshake, but nothing. But you know, I guess we'll see what these next weeks bring. They're now 7-4, so.
7-4. They've and it, that goes with what we've been saying all year as well too. They're just way too inconsistent, the Buccaneers. I mean, 1 week they'll look terrible, 1 week they'll look good. So we will see how the Buccaneers look. Another two teams that kind of got into a little you know, back and forth between each other were the Titans and the Ravens, with
Yeah.
the I believe it was the Titans players standing at midfield of
Yeah, there's
before the
an
game.
yeah, I know it was a great game, first of all, overtime game. Derrick Henry saves the day once again. It was a great game, and then there is a bit of a rivalry going on, especially with that pregame on the logo.
Yeah.
Then so some trash talks, coaches ha having to come out on the field. But it was a great game, and I think it's a big rivalry that we're gonna be seeing now for the next couple of years.
Yeah, and the Ravens are in some trouble. They've lost two in a row. They will play the Pittsburgh Steelers on Thursday night, Thanksgiving night. It's going to be a great game. We will pick that game. We'll pick a bunch of all those games for next week. After a little bit later today, after our talk with Coach Folds, but we are going to invite Coach on here just in a little bit after this break here. Talk a little bit about the OUA, a little bit about the NCAA. Two different beasts, those two leagues are. It's almost a little bit unfair to compare Canadian university sports to American university sports, but we're going to try to do that. Talk to Coach Folds about that. Ask him a little bit more about what the Laurier Golden Hawks team and what they're up to. And yeah, go down that road with Coach. So we will be back with Coach right after this. All right. So joining us now here on Hawks Huddle is head coach of the Golden Hawks football team, Coach Michael Folds. Always enjoy talking with Coach here. He's been involved in Canadian football for many, many years. The all-time leading passer in CIS history. He won two Yates Cups with one of Laurier rivals, Western, but was able to get some revenge coaching Laurier, winning the Yates Cup with them 4 years ago. How are you doing, winning the Yates Cup with Laurier 4 years ago against Western? How are you doing, Coach?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
That's great. How many times do you get, does that ever get brought up, sort of that you got that revenge over the team that you played for back in 2016?
Well, I think the only thing that gets brought up is people think I really love the color purple. Having played my days at the University of Western and then, you know, picking a different shade of purple and coaching here at Laurier, but no, it doesn't get old because, you know, I have fond memories of my time at Western and being a player there. So never any negative things
Yeah.
to say about that program and Coach Marshall, who is one of my coaches. But obviously that November afternoon in 2016 was a special day for me personally, but you know, for our team and for this university, it was a great day.
For sure, for sure. Last time we spoke, Coach, I know we were talking about some of the return to train protocols that the Golden Hawks and your team are under. I know you were saying that you had them sort of split in 30-person pods, practicing about 2 to 3 times a week. With the restrictions sort of getting more enforced, has that been kind of rolled back a little bit?
Yeah, so with the Waterloo region going into the red category now, it's the outdoor gatherings have shrunk a little bit, but we're still able to get outdoors, even in the snow that we currently have here in Waterloo region. We're now capped at 25 people, so we're still going to get a little bit of work in, but this week happens to be our last week that we're going to do it anyways, as you know, our student athletes now need to focus in on their final exams that are coming up. And then obviously most will be returning home for the Christmas break.
Yeah, and just talking to some of the other coaches too as well, sort of the whole adjustment to Zoom, it's been a lot more of screen time for a lot of these players. Just sort of how have your players and athletes adjusted to the change this year?
Yeah, it's definitely different. I think we're all kind of growing and learning how to do things a little bit differently. I would say Zoom meetings back in March and April and even early May was kind of new to everyone who hadn't been used to it. And I think through the summer months, you were kind of tiring of it. And now we've kind of come to the other end of it where it's just actually the norm. Right? People say the new normal, this is our normal now. So our guys have their classes on Zoom. All of our football meetings are on Zoom. And it seems you're so used to a life looking at a computer screen or looking at your phone screen. So does it replace the in-person day-to-day where you physically get to be in front of people? No. But I will say it's still nice for our guys and for our coaches to be able to see everyone, even though we might be stuck in our homes or stuck in our offices, you still get to have that face-to-face interaction a little bit.
Yeah, still have a little bit of a connection going. Yeah, yeah. Jacqueline?
Yeah, so I wanted to kind of jump into your life a little bit. So you were a star at Western as a quarterback. What made you become a coach?
Yeah, good question. So probably like a lot of young athletes, my goal was to take the sport as far as I could. And I was thinking I was going to be an NFL quarterback one day. And as I kind of went through my university years, I realized, the chances are very, very slim. And even when I looked at the numbers of how many Canadian quarterbacks are in the CFL, back then it was really non-existent. You add on top of that in my senior year as a quarterback at Western, I tore my ACL. So even though I got invited to the CFL combine, unfortunately, I wasn't going to be able to go because of my knee operation. So the year before that, I'd kind of been prepping myself for wanting a life in football and what that would look like if it didn't involve playing. So coaching was the natural transition I made. And in fact, my last year at Western, I started to work on my master's, which was in the kinesiology department there. And it was a master's in coaching. So that kind of gave me the leadership qualities and some of those things I was learning about. So when my football playing career ended, I quickly, send out my resume and cover letter to basically every team in the country. And so happened to be that York University was going through a head coaching change. And they needed a new offensive coordinator. So right fresh off the field from playing, I switched gears and put on a coaching outfit and became the new offensive coordinator back in 2010 for the York Lions. So it was a very quick transition. I didn't even really get a ton of time to reflect and think how quick it was. But I always say that, if you can't be playing the sport you love anymore, coaching it and still being around players that can is the next best thing. And I'd say every year I'm removed from my playing days, I love coaching that much more. I think when I was still at an age where I physically thought I could still be out on the field and performing, it was a little bit tougher to, be in a coaching role. But now that my knees are still aching and it's tougher to get out of bed every day, I don't miss the playing days quite as much. And I really do enjoy living through our players and coaching.
That's amazing to hear. And is this also something that you're teaching your players about, if I'm sure a lot of their dreams is to go into the NFL, CFL, is this also something that you want your players to see that, life after football doesn't always mean playing football. It could also mean coaching football.
Yeah, definitely. I think you want just your student athletes and any young person in general to really have passions in life and try to find a career where you can have those passions in your daily job. So I always feel very fortunate that I have a job that I don't really call a job. I think job has kind of a negative connotation around it. Whereas I feel fortunate every day I get to drive to the campus here and be surrounded with 118 to 24 year olds that are passionate student athletes that, want to do well in school and want to do well in football. We do have a good contingent of players that want to play professionally, but the odds are against them already, right? Out of every 100 players, you might have 10 that get an opportunity to go to the pros, and maybe 2 or 3 that have a career that's more than 5 years. So I always tell them that the most important thing you're ever going to do at Wilfrid Laurier University is get your degree, because you're going to make a heck of a lot more money in life outside of the sport you love. But coaching is a great avenue. But I just always remind them, whatever your passion is in life, try to find something in your life, whether that's your job or something your family does, that you can continue on with that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that kind of drives you, coach, right? Just seeing the success of some of your players and what they're able to do off of the field. Like I'm just sort of thinking of you know, even the stuff this past year with Brenton Hall, and the linebacker Bringy is on the BBI OUA task force as well. I mean, is that something that you're just, it really prides, you know, you so much?
100%. You want to see them have success in whatever area it is. So, you know, I even tweeted out last week, I had a freshman player who throughout his high school career had never received an A in his life. And he got one of his Laurier midterms back and he received an A. And he physically called me. First off, kids don't really call anymore. They're either tweeting at you, they're texting you. So the fact that he called me and was so proud, that felt good. But you're right, Tommy Bringy with the OUA task force, that's unbelievable. And you've seen the leadership qualities that he has. Brenton Hall is one of probably 15 to 20 players I've coached over my years here that is a bit of an entrepreneur. And Brenton obviously going for a great cause. So it's neat to see what people are passionate about. And it even, you know, relates to school. Whenever I get the GPA reports at the end of a semester, I can tell which classes our guys enjoyed. It's a direct reflection. The classes that you tend to do better in are the ones that you're excited about going to. You like your professors and you want to do well. So it's a good lesson for them in life. Find what you're passionate about and shoot for it.
Coach, I want to sort of branch this conversation a little bit more to Canadian football in general. Last time we were talking again, we were sort of comparing the OUA and the NCAA, and it's not even fair sort of for me to ask you, you know, a conversation between that. But I mean, I guess it is fair to say that Canadian football with the CFL and OUA not playing, you know, University Canadian football, it's fair to say they take a little bit of a setback, I guess.
Yeah, I would think so. And your worry as, you know, a coach or even a player is, you know, when something is out of sight, is it out of mind? So when we are playing football here at Laurier in the future, will the students come out? Will there still be that community support? And you would like to think so. I think it's a proud community, and university sport is important. But it is too bad, both for the CFL and for OUA football and the greater U Sports football, that there was no season. But I think all of us in our various roles have to try to be optimistic for us to get to the other side of this pandemic, even though it's been a grueling long, you know, probably 8 months we've been in so far. And it can be a little frustrating both for our coaches and players, seeing the NFL and seeing the NCAA able to play. What I think you always have to remind yourself is the money that they have, and they haven't had their seasons without any hiccups either. Look at, you know, every single weekend you're getting ready for NCAA college football on Saturdays, and there's, you know, a handful of games that have been canceled. So that's a direct reflection of, hey, there's football on, but we're still in the middle of a pandemic here.
Yeah. And I think that Clemson, I'm sure you probably saw the comments from Dabo Swinney, in Clemson this past weekend. And those are just some of the inevitable risks and problems you're going to deal with, you know, carrying a season throughout this pandemic. So, Jacqueline.
Yeah, so I want to talk about Lorraine football and like the way that or maybe just the way that it's not as popular as I was hoping for. One of the reasons why I really like Lorraine, I'm a second year student now, but coming here I really liked it because of the football team. And I realized I didn't go to one game last year. And is that just because of being a first year, you get caught up in other things. What's like one way you think that we can make football more popular for first years coming and for people who do lo love football?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't think it's just a Laurier thing. I've noticed even from my playing days in the early 2000s, stadiums were a lot more full right across the country. And unfortunately, I kind of blame how many different sources of social media and Netflix, and there's so many other things that occupy people's lives now. So you've got your schoolwork. You've got your own personal family life, but then you've got a million other things that you can do with your time. Whereas, before cell phones had all these different apps, Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock, stadiums across this country were packed with students wanting to go to a football game. And it's really unfortunate because those that do come to a game, homecoming, for instance, where we tend to have a large crowd, if you ask them at 4 p.m. after that 1 p.m. kickoff, did you have fun? Did your friends have fun? Do you think you'll come back? The answer is yes, I had a lot of fun. That was so exciting. I love homecoming. And then you ask them, well, guess what? At 1 o'clock next Saturday, we also have a home game. Will you be back? And the answer is, well, no, it's not homecoming. So we've got to get over this. Like, if you have that much fun at an event like homecoming, we only have four home games. Why not make all four a great event that you want to be at? And I always use the example of the NCAA. And Mark, you brought up Clemson, but you could bring up Ohio State, Texas, USC, any of the big universities. Do you even know when it's homecoming at those universities? You have no idea because every single week, the students want to go because it's the place to be in town. So how we make, our stadium the place to be Saturdays at 1 o'clock is something all universities are trying to figure out. And I don't know if that's social media related, phone related, how we can go about that. But I know everyone is kind of scratching their heads wondering how do we get students out to games, because they do have fun when they are there.
Yeah, for sure. It's a completely different. It's a problem that I think you're right. It's in a lot of different schools, and even over across the different sports as well too. At Laurier with their hockey teams and such. I just want to transition a little bit, Coach. I probably should ask this at the beginning, near the beginning of our conversation, but I wanted to touch on your time internationally a little bit when you were playing with Canada. You had a couple of stints with them on their U19 team, and then you also led them. You were talking about the quick transition, so I guess it was the two Yates Cups, and then you got the Masters, the injury, and then before York, did you lead Canada to that silver medal, or how did that kind of all play out?
Yeah, interesting question. So I was involved in Team Canada, like you said, on the U19 team. So every single year, there was a Global World Junior Championships that happened, and it was always in the host city of the Super Bowl, which was really cool. And us Team Canada football players got billeted with high school football players from the region. So I got a chance as a 16-year-old to be the quarterback for Team Canada on a U19 team down in Atlanta. And I was also part of the team that went down to New Orleans. I missed 1 year because of a torn ACL in high school, but then again got to be a part of the junior national team down in San Diego as well. So great experience with the junior national team. And it's unfortunate that, we're coming up to Boxing Day now and how supportive Team Canada junior national team is for hockey. Everyone knows about it. Not many people know there's a junior national team in the sport of football, because we're not on TSN. We don't get that attention. So that's unfortunate. But you're right. I then got to play for the senior national team in 2011.
Yeah.
And I was actually the offensive coordinator at York at the time.
Okay.
So, you know, funny enough, my first couple of years at York, I was training with my players to be ready for that tournament.
Wow. Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was a pretty cool experience. It was over in Austria. Team Canada, we played the U.S. in the championship, which ended up being in Vienna. And talk about crowds. There were 30 to 40,000 people there.
Wow.
In Vienna, Austria that night. And, you know, the USA got the better of us, but still a great experience for, you know, myself and all of my teammates that got to go over there to play.
Yeah, I know that's an awesome experience.
Starting up, when did you start playing football?
Yeah, so I would say probably around 7 or 8. I think like most kids, okay, your parents first put you in a sport like soccer. And then I quickly realized I was wanting a sport a little bit more physical than soccer. So got into football and never looked back. So my two sports growing up were always football and basketball, which I played all winter. And those two seasons kind of worked well with each other.
And would you allow because you have two young kids, would you allow them to play football?
Yeah, good question. And I think the answer is yes. You know, we're pretty open as parents, even though they're super young right now. Whatever they want to get into, they're allowed to with our support. So we'll see if my son's only 3 right now, Lucas, but we'll see if he wants to get into the football. And I'll be there to support him. We'll see. His mom might have better ideas after seeing all the surgeries and injuries I had throughout my career. But I will say the sport is safer than it's ever been. The rules protect the players a lot more, just in terms of that. And the equipment has gotten significantly safer. I still have my helmet that I used in university. And I'm amazed, you know, just 10, 12 years later, how much better helmets are, how much better shoulder pads are. So, you know, I think the game continues to get safer.
Right. And then what about your daughter? Because growing up, I wanted to play tackle football. My mom said, no way. So she put me in flag football, which I love. But now looking back, I'm actually happy I didn't play because, you know, as girls, you usually were not going to be as big as guys are. So if your daughter ever came to you saying, hey, Dad, I really want to play tackle football with these 6 foot, 300-pound guys, what would you say?
Yeah, I'd probably be open to it. Every single year we're out recruiting high school football when there is a high school football season. You'll see the odd high school. I'd say maybe one in every 8 high schools has a female student who's a player. And I think the players all rally around that individual. The coaches are really good allowing, you know, that student to play at a certain position. So if my daughter wanted to, then I wouldn't shut the door on her and allow her to play. I think a team sport like football, regardless if you're the superstar on the team or you're just more of a role player, I think there's so many lessons outside of just the X's and O's, right? How to be a good teammate, how to work in collaboration, hard work, discipline, all of those things. So I think a team sport is good for everyone.
All right, that's great.
Yeah, for sure. It really is. I think, you know, Coach, although you're not on the football field, a lot is still going on with you and your whole team. I know you guys have a podcast going, just finished the blood battle with Waterloo that we had spoken about. Also a clothing drive also in a few weeks, right, Coach?
Yeah, so December 5th, we've got our clothing drive, and already we've probably got 30 to 35 big garbage bags filled with clothes. So our intent is one of our big sponsors, AMJ, which is AMJ Campbell Moving. They have a cube van truck that is wrapped with Laurier football players. And our goal this year is to fill the truck. So I know a bunch of other Laurier sports like women's basketball, men's basketball, a lot of those teams are encouraging their athletes to also collect clothes. So Saturday, December 5th, we're going to be loading up the truck. And this is going to be at the University Stadium parking lot. from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. So, yeah, the more closed, the better.
Any Laurier student, right, can donate to that, right?
Exactly. And it's all closed from head to toe. So hat, mitts, scarves, all the way down to shoes and boots. Awesome. The only thing is, obviously, they want stuff that's in somewhat good condition, no holes and things like that. But there's a lot of families in need. And we thought, you know, going into the Christmas break, especially, it's nice to be able to give back. And it's great for the people that are able to get the clothes. But it's also good for everyone once a year to kind of go through your dresser and your drawers and your closets. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that you don't wear. And my simple rule of thumb, even in my family, is if I haven't worn it in the last 6 months, there's a good chance I'm not wearing it in the next 6 months. So put that in the bag and let's donate it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So fill that truck, especially a great initiative, especially in such a such a tough year for so many people, 2020. So Coach, thank you for joining us on the podcast. Like I said, it's always fun having you on, going down the rabbit hole really of your career and sort of Canadian football in general. So yeah, thank you Coach for that and stay well.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks Coach.
All right. See you Coach. So that's Coach Falls there joining us, head coach of the Laurier Golden Hawks men's football team. I really enjoyed that conversation, Jacqueline. I think he like I said, he's always a man who has a lot to say, super optimistic guy. I remember, and I've been talking with him throughout this pandemic, he was so disappointed when the first cancellation came in. You asked him when he started playing football. Which was such at a young age, he said, and this is the first fall that he's going without being on the football field. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's just such a tough year.
Heartbreaking.
But was a great conversation there.
Yeah, no, it was also our very first interview. It was my first interview ever I've been doing, so there I hope go. It went well. I think it went well, and I would love to have him back again because I feel like we do have a lot more stuff to talk about. So hopefully he will be returning soon. It was great.
Yeah, there was lots to touch on there, again, credit to Coach Falls. We thank him a lot for joining us and giving his experiences of playing in Australia, in Austria, I believe, and then running the Laurier team, running the Western team, running the York team. Like I said, he's been around Canadian football, so that is cool to see. That's our first guest. We will have more down the road. Let's get into our final segment here. As we always do on Hawks Huddle, we end with our game picks for the week. Picks. It is Thanksgiving week down in America, Jacqueline. So we got three games on Thursday.
Love that. All day Thursday.
I was just thinking.
All my work done for that.
I know. I was just thinking they should always have a Thursday or a weekday 12:30 game.
I love that. Like especially now.
Yeah.
Especially now because like we're not really in school. I'm gonna be watching and I'm excited. So yeah, we can start off with Texans Lions. Is Stafford back or do we know what his deal is?
Yeah, I don't know. Not too sure. As we touched on briefly, Stafford had a tough game on the weekend. They play the Texans, who beat the Patriots, surprisingly. We didn't get into that, but Deshaun Watson looked amazing. He looked
really
like
good.
Yeah, he looked like an MVP. So
I like Houston. Houston.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree with Houston. You. Agree. Houston. All right, Washington Cowboys. Ugh, I hate both of these teams. So it's who am I going to think is going to win? I guess I think like the Cowboys are going to win. I think they're on a really big high. I just don't see Washington stopping them. I think they're kind of figuring out what to do without Prescott, and I think it worked out for them last week, and I think they're going to do the same thing against this Washington defense.
Yeah, I know you're not a fan of either of the teams, of course.
Especially the Cowboys,
yeah, but it's a big game. It is a really big game because the winner of this game, believe it or not, is going to be first place in the NFC East heading into the weekend. So it's a big one. I'm going to agree with you again. We'll stay the same here. I got Dallas to beat Washington as the Thursday night game. What a game it is. Baltimore and Pittsburgh. If Baltimore loses this one, you could probably kiss the division goodbye. They're already three back or four back as is.
Yeah, and with the Ravens, they had to close their facility due to a lot of COVID cases.
Yes.
Mark Ingram and Dobbins are, I believe they're both out.
Yes.
So
Yep.
that's going to be
Be
where
Gus
they're
Edwards to
running.
Baltimore.
Yeah. So who's going to be their star running back? Lamar Jackson, I guess, is going to be their guy getting all the rushing yards. I'm going to go with Steelers again. They're going to go 11 and 0. Is this, yeah, the 11
Yep.
and 0, I think they're going to go. I think it will be a good game because it's Thursday night, prime time, Thanksgiving. It's like this is their big game that they all wait for, you know, as kids. They want to play on this
Of
game. So
course.
I think Steelers are going to get the win.
For sure, I will go with the Steelers as well. The Ravens, it's a much different team actually than last year. Back-to-back losses, and the Steelers are rolling. That defense is super, super scary. And they did just as advertised, letting up 3 points to the Jaguars and having four picks on Jake Luton and my Jags on Sunday.
Ouch.
Yeah, so Chargers Bills next up though here.
Ooh.
It is an interesting game. I would say, I would say the Bills are going to win this one. Just a much better team. The Chargers did beat the Jets last week, but I got the Bills here. Just a better team.
Right, Herbert was on fire. You know, I think he will be Rookie of the Year. He's
Yes.
on. He's playing amazing. But the Bills, I think, will get the win. But I think it will be a very high scoring, fun game to watch.
For sure. I agree with you there, especially because the Bills defense hasn't been too good. And Justin Herbert is lights out, like you're
He was
saying.
amazing. He was amazing last week. And yeah, so I think it'll be a very fun game. And next we have Titans Colts. Titans lost in overtime. Colts won. Overtime. Oh, sorry. Both teams won in overtime last week
Yes.
or Sunday.
Sunday.
I think it'll be a very good game. It's a bit of a rematch that they had from their Thursday night game a couple weeks ago. I think it'll be a good game, but I'm gonna go. It's actually a tough one.
Winner of the game will be first in the division. So,
This is a very tough one, actually.
yeah.
They both looked really good last week, but
The
I think
Colts are
I.
rolling.
They're really good. I think this will be a very tight game. I think it'll come down to a field goal game. I think I'm gonna go with the Colts.
It
They
is.
looked really good. I don't know, it's a tough
Yeah.
one.
It is really tough. When they played on Thursday night, 3 weeks ago, the Colts, due to some special teams errors by the Titans, remember their FedEx punter who they signed, he was delivering packages the day before he was kicking or punting for the Titans. Other than that, though, it wasn't that bad of a game. Like the two teams are pretty evenly matched, and that's why I think you had a hard time picking between the two because they're two evenly matched teams. And the Colts, although they're playing really hot right now, I still do not trust Phillip Rivers enough. I think the Titans will beat the Colts there, get a huge win there. So
All
Panthers
right.
and Vikings is the next game here. The Panthers surprised a lot of people, shut out the Lions, as we said. The Vikings surprised a lot of people in losing to Dallas, blowing that lead. Who you got here?
I think I'm gonna go with the Vikings. I just don't trust this, you know. Yes, he played great. The former ex-NFL star Bridgewater still is he
I mean,
chance to come
Bridgewater
back?
might
Questionable.
he might play. I think he's questionable as of right now, but
I think I like the Vikings. I think they have a lot. They really need to win these games, especially with that loss against the Cowboys. I don't know if they're fully out now, but this is a huge game, I think, for them. It's a big game for
yeah.
both, but I do think the Vikings are a better team all around on both defense and offense. So I'm gonna go with the Vikings.
Yeah, I mean it's a 4-6 Vikings team against a 4-7 Panthers team. The Panthers are and the Bucks are the only teams who haven't had their bye yet. They'll have it next week. But yeah, it's whoever loses this game, you can probably pack it in for next season essentially. So it's a big game in that sense. I'm gonna go with the Vikings there. So we haven't differed on any games but the Titans and the Colts, as we seem to be thinking alike here. Browns and Jaguars are next up. I will start off by saying the Browns will win.
I think they will win as well with a close game, though. I think they're going to keep it close. Browns tend to keep a lot of games close, so I think the Jaguars will find a way to keep it close. But I think they're going to go 0 and 16 this year. Who's oh, sorry. That? I mean, not Jaguars. I'm thinking of Jets. Yeah. Sorry.
Jets.
One. Yeah. One. I'm sorry. One Jets. I do think Jags are going to go 1-15 this year.
Yeah. The only thing, like the Jags, I agree with you. I think they're going to go 1-15. Like I said, I've been thinking that all year, even in the offseason. The only thing that I'm looking at in this game is to see how for real the Browns are. It's been a long time. Right. It's been a long time since the Browns have been 7-3. And let's see, like they cannot lose to the Jags.
No, and so. they actually could. Like, I do think they are going to win, but I do think it's going to be a very close game. And I do think the Browns are very overrated as well, which could be another topic next week that we can do. But yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Browns, but I think it will be very close. Sure. Giants, Bengals.
This is a big game.
Giants, Bengals? Yeah.
It is a big game, and the Giants, again, this is another game that the Giants, again, if you're serious, you need to win this game. Same goes with the Browns against the Jaguars.
Right.
But these are teams, like, you know, that we aren't too sure about yet. The Giants, I mean, they've are looking pretty good. We both said that they're the best team in the NFC East, but they still have a 3-7 record.
Right.
The Browns, 7-3. You know, again, they've also lost, you know, a couple games that they shouldn't have. So, I mean, this is a big game, though, for the Giants. If they win, they'll be in first place in the division. And I think they have to win. I think they will win, especially considering I don't know who's going to be playing quarterback for Cincinnati.
Right. Yeah. So I'm going to go with the Giants, of course. Cardinals, Patriots.
Yeah. Cardinals, Patriots.
I'm going to go with the Cardinals in this one. They didn't look great last week. Murray, I believe, injured his. He injured his throwing arm. Very minor injury. He should be okay. He suffered an AC joint injury, but he should be okay. I think the Patriots are, like, what's wrong with the Patriots, first of all?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, just not enough pieces there, right?
Right, so I'm going to go with the Cardinals in this one.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. Cardinals, as again, we stay pretty locked here on our picks. Dolphins and Jets. I'll go with the Dolphins there.
Go with the Dolphins too.
Pretty good one there. Raiders and Falcons next. This could be interesting. The Raiders looked really, really good on Sunday night.
Right. I think I'm going to go with the Raiders. I think they're much better than we think than what we're seeing.
Yeah.
I think they're actually a very dangerous team at times. I like the Raiders in this one for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you think too. We were talking about that Sunday night game against the Chiefs. The Raiders were going in with a lot of their defensive players on the COVID list as well. Right. They were missing a lot of their players. So to go up shorthanded on defense against the MVP probably in Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs offense and nearly win the game. I think you're right. The Raiders are a lot better than a lot of people think. I got the Raiders as well. Saints and Broncos will start the 4 o'clock games, the afternoon games on Sunday. And I'm going to go with the Saints there. Again, just a much better team than the Broncos. Sean Payton has that team playing well.
Yeah, I think the Broncos got lucky last week against the Dolphins, but I like the Saints in this one as well. Just a better all-around team, better coaching as well. Mm-hmm. Moving on to Niners, Rams. Rams looked great. They looked like their Super Bowl team that they had a few years ago. Their defense looked great. Jared Goff played amazing. Cooper Kupp, we're seeing again. Oh, Woods, we're seeing again. They both caught over 130 yards, I believe. Goff is finding all of his guys. They looked really good, really, really good. And I like them in this one.
Yeah, I got the Rams as well. I'll pick the Rams here as well. We talked about some sleeper teams in our first episode. We talked about the Bills, we talked about the Cardinals. I think the Rams are really still flying under a lot of people's radars. They are for real. If that offense can play like it did yesterday, like you said, get it to Kupp, get it to Woods, have Goff playing as he does, that Rams team is going to be scary. For sure, Chiefs and Bucks game of the week, most likely game of the week for sure. Mahomes versus Brady. Lose another one here?
I don't know, because he was really good after that bad loss against the Saints. You know, is that Brady's thing? Is it he, you know, because it's not prime time, maybe he'll play really well. I don't know. I think I like the Chiefs. I think they're also just a better team. They're more comfortable with each other. There's a lot of problems still with the Bucks. Even though they are still a solid team, they have a lot of problems as a whole. And I think the Chiefs are just a better team all around, and they're comfortable. They're creative. I like the Chiefs in this one, but I do think it will be close.
Yeah, I do think it will be close too. I think your explanation was kind of exactly what I was going to say. A lot of me wants to take the Buccaneers because Brady is really, really good in the weeks after a bad loss.
Yeah,
And
very tough one.
very tough one, yeah. And it wasn't a bad loss that he had last night against the Rams. I mean, he played bad. They only lost by 3 points, but he played
Right.
really bad. So he's
Yeah.
going to be looking to play a lot better. But still, it's hard to see that team beating the Chiefs.
Right.
When you talk about Mahomes and Brady has to keep up with the amount of points that Mahomes keeps puts up. It would be a different conversation maybe 3, 4 years ago, like when it was in the AFC Conference Championship,
Right.
but not anymore. I got the Chiefs there. Bears and
All right.
Packers for Sunday Night Football, one of the greatest rivalries in all of sports here at Lambeau Field. It's a big one. If the Bears can win, do you think they are able to?
Well, Nick Foles, I think he's questionable, I believe. I don't think he's out for this one. But either or, I think the Packers are gonna win. They had a sad loss in overtime. They ended up scoring, I think they scored 28 points in the first half and only scored 3 points in the second half. So they had a very bad second half. I know Rodgers is screaming at his entire team right now because that's the kind of player he is, and I know that they're gonna bounce back. I think it's very similar to Brady. Rodgers had a good game, I'm not saying that, but it's so hard to lose in overtime. It's very devastating, so I know they're going to come back, and I do think this will be a blowout.
Yeah, you know what? We are very much in unison on these picks
Yeah.
because I agree with you. I think it'll be a blowout. The Packers, I mean, that's a game that they really should have won. Even in overtime, I believe it was Valdes-Scantling who fumbled it. Right? I mean, they got the ball
Right.
first, and then it was just a little screen to
Right.
Scantling, and he fumbled it.
And
Right?
another thing with that is that people are sending him death threats.
Yes.
That's something that
Yeah.
we can talk about next week, but I don't want to
Yes.
get too much into that. But that's just disgusting, sending a player death threats for fumbling the ball. I
Yeah,
get it.
it
We
has no
love
place.
football. We love football, but it's also a game. So
That has no place
no, yeah.
in sports, football at all. I saw that tweet that he put out. Just awful. Any
Just
Packers
don't
fan,
send death threats.
football
It's
fans.
simple. He fumbled the ball. Like, what are you gonna do? It's a game. Anyways, last but not least, Seahawks, Eagles. I'm going diehard Seahawks because I was a Giants fan, but I do think they will get the win as well. They looked really good last week. The Eagles are just falling apart one by one. Yeah, I think the Seahawks are gonna win big.
Yeah, the Seahawks, another team that we really didn't touch too much on at the beginning of this episode here. It's hard to recap all of the games in an episode here, but they looked really good, like you said. And I don't think there is too much. If you've been listening to the way I've talked about the Eagles, I do not like the Eagles at all.
No.
They just look terrible. I mean, people are going to say injuries, like every week I say that. Every team's hurt in the NFL.
Right.
Teams are using what they have. I mean, the Ravens, I wouldn't be surprised if the Ravens are able to run the ball well, even without Dobbins this week, this Thursday. You talked about Barkley being out and the Giants using Gillum. I mean, teams are making it work. The Eagles are not. So I got
No.
the Seahawks here for sure.
All right. That's
All
great. So
right.
is this how we're gonna end it?
Yeah, we're gonna end it basically agreeing on basically
Yeah.
every single pick. I think the only two games that we disagreed on were Titans Colts, and I think that might be
Yeah.
it.
I think that's it. I think we're yeah. So hopefully we can get our picks right this week, and yeah.
So yeah, I mean, if you think if you think we're smart in any way, we're both going the same way here with the picks. But yeah, we'll see. Just differing on the Titans and Colts. We want to thank Coach Folds for joining us today. I thought that was a pretty insightful, pretty good talk.
Yeah.
Hit on a bunch of different topics. So great to have him on here, being our first guest on Hawks Huddle. We will be back next week. I'm sure we'll have a guest lined up. I know we're thinking about a few different guests, so we'll have that planned out and going for next week. But we thank you for everybody watching on YouTube right now, everybody who's listened on Radio Laurier, and any other avenue that you may have gotten this through. Thank you for listening. I'm Mark Cascanet.
And I'm Jacqueline Kula.
Yeah, thank you for watching this third episode here of Hawks Huddle. Have a great week.
Bye, guys.